I just really feel there's a cry in the heart of God, a real heart. The Holy Spirit right now is that He really just wants to connect with His people. I know that there's been a lot of people gone through a lot of stuff. A lot of people going through a lot of pain. A lot of people trying to find answers in a lot of things. But the only answer is Jesus. And the only way we're going to really find the things we're looking for is when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Can't be part-time. Can't be sometime. But every day, every moment of the day, every hour of the day, that we'd want His presence to live with us, to be with us, for His Holy Spirit to be active in our lives, to be in control in our lives. We sing these songs about being desperate, but how desperate really are we? How much do we really want the power of God, the power of His Holy Spirit? I was reading in a book this week and just was thinking a lot. Really felt the call, the Holy Spirit in my own life. Try real hard to be a professional preacher. Try real hard to do it a certain way. But just hear the Holy Spirit call to be with Him, to know Him. Reading the Bible, and Jesus said before He went, He said, it's good for you, better for you, actually, He said, that I go. Because if I go, I'll send you another comforter. He was saying that the word another in that verse means the same as Jesus. But I'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better. He didn't just say, I'm going to go away and in place of that, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and hope that works out for you. He said, it's better for you that I go so that the Holy Spirit would come. That comforter would come. And there has to be a difference in us because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. How many times have we ever thought, as Christians, it'd be really cool if we could just walk with Jesus like the disciples did. That we could get His advice day and night. That real time, whenever we have a question, we could just turn to Jesus in physical form and ask Jesus what we should do. It'd be really cool. But Jesus said, it's better for you that I go so that I could send another comforter to you. That should make a difference in our lives. It should be a difference that's visible. I just want to challenge you all today. So I know we live our lives and sometimes we just walk it out in our natural fleshly part. We just sort of go through the motions of Christianity. We know the rules, we know how to play nice in church, and we know how to do the thing. But I'm asking you today to really spend. I'm believing God's doing something. I'm talking to people and I see God doing things in people right now that I just hear the cry of the Holy Spirit to people, come, just come, allow me to be what you live for, allow me to be your life, allow my power and my presence to fill you. But we have spring conference coming up in April 18th and 22nd, and there's nothing that's magical about a conference. But there are things in our life and times in our life that we set aside for God, that we say, this is a high kind of holy time where we're just going to give ourselves for a while to spending time with God, to being in His presence, to allowing Him to speak to us. We experience it when we go to camp with the young people. And it never fails. We gather together on Friday and we're kind of all just all over the place. And we've come in with all our, you know, our things and our problems, our struggles, our pride, our all this kind of stuff, and we hear the Word of God and we worship together and we sing together, and all day Saturday we hear the Word of God and we worship together and we sing together, and we get in some fights and we get in some struggles, and never fails, but Saturday night, just the focus and the power of the Holy Spirit comes and changes our young people. I don't think over this past 10 years we've had a time where God has impacted our young people as much as He has this year, and I'm really believing God's doing something amazing in our young people. Just so proud of all you guys and so happy that you're here and part of this. You guys are amazing. Love spending time with them. But God wants to do that for all of us. So I just would challenge you over this next 6 weeks as we're coming up to this time, but especially this week, to just spend at least 15 or 20 minutes a day reading your Bible, getting close to God, getting to know Him, allowing Him to speak to you, and see what He'll do in us. I believe that God wants to touch His people. I believe that we need to have a relationship with Him. But that only comes as we come into His throne room, as we come into His presence every day. It only comes as we seek Him every day. God is never going to be content being part of your life. God always wants to be your whole life. I ask myself this question every day. Is God part of what I do? Or is God the reason for what I do? Is He everything to me, or is He just something to me? It's just, we need to just, I just believe it, that just this morning, over this past week, even yesterday at our marriage seminar, just that I just heard the cry of God. I believe that over this past couple years, some of the trials and struggles that we've all been through financially, we see, you know, our economy, you know, has struggled and our economy has been tough. But I really believe that God's confronting our culture on the whole idea of we really are His or not. Or is it just a game? Is it just something we talk about? He's confronting us, and I want us to be able to answer Him that He is what we're all about. It's nice to have the stuff, nice to have a nice home, nice building for the church. But unless He's here, unless the Holy Spirit is here, unless the Holy Spirit is not only here but active in each one of your lives, then it's just all bah. We might as well just pack it in and go home. Might as well just forget it. It's really important for us. That isn't really what I was going to talk about today. But I just sense that the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, come to me. I want to be part of everything that you are. I really believe that He is saying this today. There's some of us that have gone through a lot of struggle. We're walking around with a lot of hurt, walking around with a lot of pain. And He wants us to give that to Him today. There's some of us here that are walking around with a lot of pride. We're walking around with a lot of, I'm something. And God wants us to give that to Him today. There's a lot of us that are walking around saying, you know what? Find my peace in my family today. It's my family's good. My family's tight. Everything's good. It's all good. Whatever today you're finding your struggle or your pain in, whatever you think is the reason you can live today, I just want you, during the course of while I'm talking, just to write it down on a piece of paper. And at the end of the service, when we're done, just drop it here. Give it to God this morning as an act and saying, I want you, Holy Spirit, in my life. I believe this is what God is saying. I'm not just trying to do some fancy thing here to make you move and make you. I just believe that God is calling to us today. You know, I don't do this. It's not what I do, but I really believe this is what God is saying today. So let's be obedient to Him. So, great to be home. I love our church. I love it here, and I love our people that we get to do life with. It's been fun. Yesterday we had a great time at our marriage retreat. Those of you that weren't able to go, I just feel so bad. I just wish that you could all come. I wish that, because God was speaking some great things, not only about our marriage yesterday, but about our life with Him. I was a great day. I walked away last night just challenged, sitting around Even as I was here praying and worshiping and getting ready for this morning service, just God was speaking to my heart, asking some questions about what it's all about and how we could live out this life for Him in a powerful way. And so I was just like touched by it, and I wish that you all could have been there. I wish, and maybe we're going to find a way that if you really want to, you know, be part of what we learned yesterday, that you can. I'll see what we could do, but I really believe it's really important. Sometimes the opportunity of the lifetime has to be taken in the lifetime of the opportunity. And I think, like, when God gives us a chance to grow, I'm not going to nag you. Anyway, I just believe that it was a great time, and I'm so thankful we got to be there with all of you that got to come, and we missed all of you that couldn't come. I know some people had to work and that. So anyway, it was great. I would give you a lesson on that, but then we're going to be here till, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock. So anyway, let's move on from that. Tonight we have our Catch the Vision night. We're just going to review what God's done for us in the past year, look at our just a financial snapshot of what's going on and how we did and how God blessed and how much we've spent on the building and how much we have left. And just been a great year of God's provision in the house. Even though it's been a tight year and we've had to really watch and be good stewards of what God's given to us, it's been a great year, and God has blessed, taking care of the needs of His house. And we're going to talk a bit about vision tonight. Not going to be real long. If you need kids ministry, we have that tonight. So just come on out. I know there's the Olympic closing ceremonies, and that's really important to a lot of people. Do it on your DVR, record it, and come on out. Anyway, we got to go to Myrtle Beach, Christine and I and the kids, over the last couple of weeks, and got to visit another church down there, and no place like home. No place like home. It's just so good to be here. We got to arrive at Myrtle Beach just for the first snowfall that they'd had in 10 years, because God knows how much I love snow. So they were like, it was snowing, and there was like, it's flat there. And there's the only hills are on the overpasses of the highway. So at every overpass, you'd see 20 cars lined up along the highway and all these parents and kids out sliding down the side of these overpasses on toboggans, just having a hoot. We were laughing. It was funny. But we're back, and it's good to be back. I really believe God wants to do great things in our lives. I just think we have to open our hearts up to Him and be in His presence. I was really happy the last couple of weeks. I know you guys have been blessed. Mom and John both preached, and they did a great job. Listened to the messages this week, was really challenged by it. Been thinking about what John talked about last week, and just the question, I guess, after having listened to that message is, how willing are you to allow God to empower you? How willing are you to let go of unforgiveness? Because that's hard, right? It's hard to release people at times. How willing are you to step past the fear and allow God to empower you to be everything that He's called you to be? I think a lot of times that we are afraid to step into things because we're afraid of what it'll cost us. I was thinking that yesterday about the marriage seminar a bit. I think sometimes people are afraid to go to marriage seminars because they're afraid of what it could cost them, how much it might change their way they do life at home, how much they might have to change their attitudes. But I think, like, that message was calling us to change. And I know a lot of times we're afraid. So how willing are we to be able to step beyond the fear, the unforgiveness, and be the person that God has called us to be? To be able to walk out our front door in the morning, but not even then, even when we just get out of our bed in the morning, to realize that all of life is ministry. All of life is calling by God to touch the lives of others, to be touched by God, to allow the Holy Spirit to flow into us so we can flow out of us into the lives of others. How willing? I hope we're willing. I hope we're willing to go there. I think we need to realize that God wants all of us. All of us as a group, but all of us as individuals. Every part of us. God wants your fears. God wants your failures. God wants your victories. God wants your families. God wants your money. God wants your car. He wants your attitudes. He wants your pride. He wants it all. He wants it all to be absorbed in Him so that we can truly live for Him. He wants us to be able to say this with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 8. Yes, all the things I once sought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be that everything that we ever were, everything that we ever had going for us, good, bad, ugly, that we would give it to Him and count it as dog dung compared to what we now have in Christ Jesus. This is what it comes down to an understanding that of who Jesus is. To understand who He is, to understand the love of Jesus, to understand His love for you, not just as a group here, because we don't have a hard time realizing that God could love somebody. Sometimes we have a hard time realizing that God could love us. We have a hard time understanding that He could actually love me with all my warts, with all my brokenness, with all my shame. But He loves you as an individual. And the great price that He paid to redeem you, to buy you back out of a life of sin and death and bring you into a life of freedom and love and power. And His great desire for you to connect with Him so you can tap into all that He has prepared for you. Because He has prepared something for you, and He's preparing you for that if you would just allow it. I believe that God is calling, but unless we respond, unless we choose to follow Him, we're not going to follow Him. We're just going to live life the way we've always lived it. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. I'm sorry, I'm wandering from my notes, but I just think about God and how immense and how wonderful He is that when I stand outside at night and I look at the stars and I see how vast His universe is, when we look at the human eye and we realize that it's still the most complex piece of machinery that was ever created, when we look at a baby that was just born and we see the life, that beautiful life that a couple is created together, but only because of the power of God that keeps them alive. I just think that we need to realize how wonderful of a God we serve. So today, we're going to continue with our series entitled Clash of the Titans. Today will be a little repetitive of the last time. And the last time was a little bit repetitive of the time before. Because I really, really think we need to get this. I really, really think we need to understand this. I really think we need to be able to walk in freedom the way God designed us to. So, we're going to review. This is where we started, and this is really our theme verse. It's found in Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, which says, "Then I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that that you cannot do the things that you would." Paul is telling us, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, we need to remember when we read the Bible that this is just not another book. This is just not a book that was written by man, although it was written by man. It was inspired by God and protected by the Holy Spirit for these thousands of years that it's been around. The most read book, the most printed book of all time. And God was speaking through Paul and saying that we should live our lives out in the Spirit. He was telling us that we should do it and not in our flesh. These are God's words to us through the Apostle Paul. This is just not Paul talking, although Paul is a pretty influential writer. He wrote most of the New Testament. There's almost today still millions of people read his writings every day. Every day, people still read. 2,000 years later, he's probably one of the most influential writers that have ever written. But it wasn't Paul. It was God speaking to us and saying, walk in the Spirit. And then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't walk in your flesh. Don't walk in your sinful self, but walk in the Spirit. Because if you'll do that, then you'll be able to live life the way God wants you to live it. God told us to live life this way because it's a good way to live life. In fact, it's God's way for us to live life. It's the way God chose for us to live it, and He's speaking that again through Apostle Paul. I think we can agree that if God asks us to do something, that it's possible for us to do it. God's not a mean God. God's not a trickster. God's not nasty, sitting up there going, I'm going to make a bunch of rules that they can't keep anyway, and I'm going to laugh at them because they can't do it. It's like I talked about the Rubik's Cube. Sick person invented that. And you twist and twist all day long. You can't get it until you get it figured out. You get the rules about how to do it. God didn't make it so that we couldn't do it. But he there is some understanding that we need to have if we're going to walk life that way. We can't just keep living life the way we always have. I think that we can also agree that it's a challenge to live life in the Spirit. There's a big draw on us by our flesh. We feel fear. Anybody ever feel fear? I feel fear. I get scared at times. Sometimes I think that this thing that I'm dreaming of is possibly a mental illness. And I think, like, Ralph, you're nuts. You're crazy. God can't really do that. You're just dreaming. It's just, I get scared. I think, like, what I see sometimes doesn't match up with what I'm dreaming about. And I get scared. Sometimes when Christine and I don't connect properly and we feel like a distance between us, I get afraid. My flesh starts telling me there's something wrong. And God is telling me it's okay, that if we build a life with Him, that it's all going to be good. But we have to understand that there's this whole tug of the flesh against us. It's a challenge to walk in the Spirit. In fact, many of us have tried repeatedly to walk in the Spirit. We've possibly gone to church, and I'm thinking about this. I've talked to a lot of people who just say, I don't feel close to God right now, or I just feel disconnected from God. And we get into church and we feel the presence of God. Like I felt this morning, I felt the presence of the Lord here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good. But we come here and we say, okay, this is it. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to do what the pastor said this week. I'm going to go for 2 weeks and I'm going to just give myself to God for 15 or 20 minutes a day. And then we get out there and we get into life and our alarm clock doesn't go off in the morning. And then everything goes wrong. Like I got home from holidays last week on Sunday afternoon and I'm driving to work Monday morning and I'm going through town and people are pointing at my car and I'm like, well, what? It's ugly. I know it's old. It's whatever. Just don't point. But then I realized I had a flat tire. So I'm trying to get to church. I want to spend some time in prayer before my regular kind of time starts. And I got a flat tire. And then I get here and there's a bunch of stuff. And I'm wandering all around the place and trying to figure out what to do. And I just, you know, like it just felt that tug away from what I really had in my heart to do. Of what I really wanted to do. And I know that we come and we decide that we're going to serve God. We're going to spend time with Him. We're going to live with Him. And then something happens, and we just don't get time, or we get dragged away, or our priorities get messed up, and we say, I just can't do it. I want to do it. I want to live God's way. I want to do life the way God intended me to do it, but I just can't do it. I just struggle too much. Whenever I try to do it, everything in hell comes against me, so I can't. Maybe you come to church and you hear a message like last week about forgiveness. And you make up your mind, I'm going to forgive. There's this person that my heart has just been, I hate to say it, but hating for all these years. There's just this, every time someone mentions that name, I'm just like, ugh. Just so tense and so hurt. And I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to do it. And no sooner do you leave the parking lot than that person cuts in front of you out in the parking lot. And you're like, that person doesn't deserve forgiveness. I can't forgive that person. How can I forgive? And we want to do what's right, and we choose to do what's right, but there's this thing that's always working against us when we're trying to do it. We know that God wants us to live that way, but we just can't seem to pull it off. We want to do it, but we can't do it. And this is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. Throughout the whole chapter, he's talking about, well, you know, I want to live for God. I want to do life His way. But whenever I try and do it His way, there's this other thing working in my members, and I want to do right, but I do wrong, and the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do, and the things I don't want to do, I just stumble into them. I fall into them. I just do it. I can't help it. Anybody feel me? I live, and I'm really trying to understand this, because I need to walk in that victory that we sang about. I need to walk in the freedom that God planned for me. And Paul's talking about this until he comes to verse 24, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Anybody ever said that? God, I'm a loser. God, I'm a zero. God, I just can't do it. Give up on me. I don't even know why you bother with me. I'm a jerk. I am what I am. And you know what I am, so why do you even bother with me? And he turns the corner here and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what is his response? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I made up my mind. We went to Valiant, and this whole series was taught. As I said, this is not original. This is a redo. And I made up my mind. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going there anymore. I'm going to do life the way I'm supposed to do it. And I'll tell you, this whole thing is hard to do, because there's a real big tug in my flesh to do what I've always done. To just like drive or not. Christine and I are driving to St. Catharines on Friday there, and she's driving, so that's better for me when she's driving, because I'm not quite as ignorant on the passenger side as I am on the driver's side. But we're pulling up to the four-way stop at Victoria and Canberra Road there, and there's four cars stopped, and I don't know what it is about Canadians, but we can't get those four-way stops. We need roundabouts, I think, so we can just figure this out. But we're sitting there, and everybody's taking their turn, and there's us and this other car. And Christine's a little bit more of a nice driver than I am. I just say, if they don't move in 2 seconds, I'm going. Hit me if you have to. She's sitting there and being patient. And finally, the guy just waves her through, and I'm going, oh, good. The four-way stop nuts, he let us go through, so go ahead and move, right? But I'm, like, thinking this, and I'm saying, no, I'm not going there anymore. I stop. Because it's a problem for me. I'm working on it. I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be angry when I get behind the wheel of a car. I think I drove truck too many years. I don't know how truckers do it. If I had to live on the road, I don't think I couldn't. I don't know. Maybe this wouldn't work for me. But I'm just like working at it all the time when I'm getting stressed. I'm like, oh, I want to go to the fridge. I want to have something good to eat. And I'm saying, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow my spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of my flesh. When Christine's saying, Ralph, have you been on the treadmill? And I'm like, I hate treadmills. They're boring. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. I don't feel like it, but I know I need to go there. And I say, God, I just want to live life your way. I want to take care of and be a good steward of what you've given me. And so I'm working at it and I'm trying, but I realize there's always this drag from my flesh. And I used to think because the flesh was dragging at me, that just meant I couldn't do it. And I felt guilty and I felt down about that and I felt like a failure and I felt like when I got up here on Sundays that I really didn't have anything to say to you, because obviously I'm telling you to live in self-restraint, and in a lot of ways I'm not living in self-restraint, and I'm just trying to live this out. But because this flesh is always tugging at me, it's I feel guilt, I feel shame, I feel like I can't do it. But Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ that with my mind I can serve the law of God, even though in my flesh there's this whole sinful nature. Your body is never, your flesh is never going to say, okay, here's the deal. I don't want my way anymore. If you've struggled with pornography, men, or your flesh is never going to say, okay, here's the deal. I want to serve Jesus now. I'm not going to go there. Let's serve Jesus together. It's not going to happen. Remember in Galatians 5, verse 17, it says, the spirit wars against the flesh warns against the spirit, so that you cannot do the thing that you desire to do. So there's always this war. For people who, you know, are addicted to chocolate, you know, like, you know, you're always going to have that desire. The flesh is always going to want to take you there. Those of you that struggle with forgiveness, it's going to be, that's a struggle you have in your flesh. James talks about the sin that so easily besets us. There's this thing in our flesh always at work. So don't feel guilty because there's desires in you. It's what it is. It's what it is. But you have to say no to those desires, and you got to say yes to God's word. We have to follow Jesus. We can't get worn down and feeling guilty because these thoughts and these temptations are coming toward us at 100 miles an hour. We have to just know that there's this battleground. So God created us, and we read, you know, in the Bible where it says that God created us body, soul, and spirit, that your whole body, soul, and spirit would be found blameless on that day. So there's three parts. The body, it's the flesh, it's the part of us that's drawn. Do we have that screen up here? Body, it's on the left. Body is flesh, it's worldliness, it's carnality, it's our lust and desires and passion and sins. It's all in that part of us. It's there. It's bad. It's all, you know. And then on the other side is our spirit, right? And the spirit is when we give our hearts to Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells us, because Jesus said, it's better that I go, and the Holy Spirit will come and He'll be in you, and He comes and lives in us, and our spirit starts to agree with God's spirit, and it's trying to teach us to live life God's way. And if we do, it brings us into life and light and hope and love and faith. And it's not a mistake that the soul is in the middle. See, if we see that little, you know, kind of Ghostbuster sign, but it's got an arrow in the middle there, and it's pushing. The spirit and the body cannot work together. It won't work. So the deal is whatever side that the mind agrees with, it bears out the power of the other. So if we can get our mind to agree with the Spirit of God in us, then we will negate the power of the flesh. We'll walk away from that. Won't always be easy. There will always be a draw there, but we can live life on the right side instead of on the left side. Our soul is where our emotion, where our mind, where our will, where our thinking happens. So we are created in three parts. The battleground for this is in the mind. It's in the mind. It's where it happens. So our flesh is tugging us one way, our spirit is tugging us another way, and unless we get our mind to agree with the right side, we're always going to walk in the flesh. And if we walk in the flesh, that brings us into death. It brings us into death. It brings death to our dreams. It brings death to our opportunities. It brings death to our families. It brings death to us. It kills us. So, last time we were talking, we were looking at Romans chapter 6, and we talked about the fact that there was a choice that needed to be made. That we had to decide whether we were going to walk on the right side or on the left side. We're either going to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or we're going to live on the left side and bring death into our life. Romans 6, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him whom you obey, whether it is of sin to death or obedience to righteousness?" Read it again. Do you not know? So you should know this. If it asks you, do you know, it's probably something you should know. So do you know that whoever you yield yourself as slaves to for obedience, to him, that's the one you obey. Whether it's of sin to death or of righteousness from obedience. This throws the ball completely into our court. It's our choice. We have to choose. Just like last week, John preached about, you know, walking in what God's called you to walk in. And stepping away from fear and stepping away from unforgiveness and being empowered by God. It's still a choice that you have to make. It's your choice. It's not my choice. It's not God's choice. Sounds awful, right? Because God's in control. It's not the devil's choice. It's your choice. The battleground is in your mind. It's where the decisions happen. It's where you enforce your will and say, I'm doing this. So we have to decide. It's in our court. It's in and God's given us that power, that right. But with every right comes responsibility. So when I choose to walk after the flesh and I'm like, you know, say 10 years from now, 500 pounds, and I can't climb the stage and I'm sweating every time I move and I can't buy clothes that fit and all this kind of stuff, I can't say, well, God made me this way. This is the way I was supposed to be. I can't say that because it's my right to choose. I choose. The battleground is here. It's not up there somewhere. It's not like, you know, praying down, you know, demons and it's not there. There is spiritual warfare, but this is a decision we make whether to follow the spirit or to follow the flesh. Flesh is going to come. We can't feel guilty all the time. We can't feel shame all the time. We can't. And when we fall down, I don't know about you, but I fall down and I fall hard sometimes. And sometimes I make a big mess and I have to pick myself up again and say, I'm going to start new and fresh. So God gives us that right too. But then it goes on in Romans 6, 17 and 18. It says, but thanks be to God that you are the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. We ended this last week that I talked 3 weeks ago with the statement that living life on the right is doing God's will, God's way. Not doing our will, God's way, or God's will, our way. It's doing God's will, God's way. And basically that God does not reward us for good intentions. We don't need to live the way we've always used to live. We can do the things, we can do God's will, God's way. And in fact, we must do it His way if we're going to live following the Spirit. And also, we can know that God has given us the power to do that. He's given us His Holy Spirit. Again, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. That other Comforter will come. He's given us the will. He's given us the power to live life His way. He's given us the power. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned that He had invited us to share in His wonderful goodness. God made great and marvelous promises so this nature will become part of us. That's that right side nature. That's that life. That's that joy. That's that peace. That's that freedom that comes from living with God. Then we could escape the left side, our evil desires and the corrupt influences of the world. He gave us everything we need, it says in verse 13, or in verse 3. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. So not only do we have the choice, we don't have an excuse. We can't say we don't have what it takes to do it. We have to decide whether or not we want to live that way. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that makes us alive. The flesh profits nothing. It's the right side that makes us alive. It's the left side profits us absolutely nothing. The words, God says, that I speak to you are spirit and their life. So the words that I speak to you are right-sided. And they bring life. And they fill your spirit. Where do we find His Word? By going up on a hill somewhere and meditating? We find it by opening the Bible and reading it. David, the psalmist, said, Lord, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I would not sin against you. I've filled myself with right-sided thinking so that I won't live on the left side. I filled myself with your word so that I can live the way you've called me to live. The problem with most of us, including your pastor, is so many times my love for God's word has been so minimal and hasn't been where it should be. And I haven't filled my heart up the way I should fill it up with God's word. And I wonder why I struggle, and I wonder why I can't live life God's way. But we need to make a decision to love His word. We need to love His word. God's words are spirit and life. And that's exactly why we need what we need to live on the right. To live in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To live life God's way. If you don't know and love God's word, then you'll never live in the promises that God has for you. Because you will keep following the flesh and all of its lusts, desires, and passions. And that will always lead to death. How many of you are tired of living life in the flesh, following your passions, your lusts, your desires, and always feeling like you're coming up short, that you're coming up empty-handed, that you're wondering, why do I really serve God? How many of us feel that way? I've felt that way many times. I always say, you know what? I've lived life this way, and I'm an emotional creature. I'm probably more emotional than a lot of guys are. But I'm like, God, if you don't, I'm like Thomas. God, I want to put my hand in your side. I want to touch the wounds in your hand. I want to know you. I don't want to just hear about you. I'm like that prophet in the Old Testament that said, Lord, I've heard of your ways, and I stand in awe of your deeds, but renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. I need to know God. I need to experience God. I need to feel His presence. And if I don't, I'm like, whew, what am I doing this for? Why am I here? Why do I get up every Sunday and work hard to prepare? Like, you know what? I don't know why I do this. I don't know why anybody would want to live life as a Christian and not really experience the presence and the power of God and the life of God and the freedom that He brings. And God's given us everything we need. But if we follow the left side with all its lust and its passions and desires, it leads to death. It leads to death in our life. Death to our dreams, to our plans, to our hopes, to our relationships, to our opportunities, or whatever good things that really belong to us in Jesus Christ. We look at the promises of God and we look at our life, and a lot of times we aren't seeing those promises, but a lot of the times it's because we're walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. I think it takes times like we've lived through as a country to really identify where our heart's at. I think sometimes when everything is going good, it's easy to say, I love God. That, you know, whatever God wants from me, I'll give to Him. But when sometimes you're on the verge of losing everything you have, when you have to just trust God because you don't know if your family's going to make it through another day, when you have to trust God because you don't know if you're going to have enough money left at the end of the month to pay your mortgage and keep a roof over your head, when you don't know if you're going to live another day because this sickness is in your body, that sometimes we get to this point where we have to say, Jesus is all I've got, and Jesus is more than what I need. We've been through some tough times as a country, as a nation, as a people, even as a church, we've gone through some struggles and some hardship. But it identifies in us a lot of times where we really are at with that need for God. Do I really need Him? Is really God all that I need? Or is He just something I need when I want Him? But if we're going to have everything that God has for us, we have to be willing to give Him everything that He wants. So let's talk about doing life, or doing God's will, God's way. Because the truth is that often we want God to reward us for our good intentions. But that's not how it works, right? I think it was Francis Chan was talking yesterday about that game. Remember the game Simon Says? Simon Says, do this. Simon Says, do that. And we do this and we do that, right? Or follow the leader. Everything the leader does, if the leader makes one step, then we make one step. If the leader makes two, then we make two. And we just follow the leader. But when the Bible says follow Jesus, we a lot of times want to just go study the verse, memorize the verse, dissect the verse, understand the verse, and say, well, God, I memorized what you said. I understand what you said. But the leaders over there made four more steps, and we're still standing here doing this. And we expect that because we had it in our hearts and we meditated on it and we thought about doing it but didn't do it, that God should still bless us like we did. Guys, try that. Try this. Both good intentions. Try buy your wife a chainsaw for Valentine's Day and see how your good intentions go for you. Unless you got a backwoods woman. Might go all right. But we a lot of times want God to reward us for our good intentions. I look at David. David, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart. But David was a messed up guy. And a lot of times we look at David and we say, well, you know what? David did all this bad stuff, but God still blessed him. But David did all this bad stuff. David committed adultery with his best friend's wife, had his best friend murdered, and then lied about it. And then he says, you know, that powerful verse, Lord, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, and God, you know, embraces David and says, David was a man after my own heart. The truth is, though, that after that, the sword never left David's house. David never lived in peace again. David's own sons turned against him. David's, because there's always a consequence to our sin. Even if we intended, you know, to do well and we don't do well, it's not enough. If we look back in the Bible, we can look to the story of Cain and Abel. And it says that after a time that Cain brought an offering to God from his field. And it says, and then Abel brought the best part of his firstborn, or the firstborn of his flock, to God. And it says that God loved Abel. And actually in a verse in the Bible it said God hated Cain. That he found Abel's sacrifice as acceptable because Abel did God's will God's way. And he found Cain's sacrifice repulsive to him. It was actually an insult to God because in time, Cain just brought something to God. A lot of us do that with our giving. A lot of us just, you know, if we have a little bit left at the end of the month, we'll come present that to God. But God asked for our first. God asked for our best. It's not because the church needs it, although the church uses it. It's not because maybe a missions organization needs it. God can provide for His church. God can provide for missions in many ways beyond you. But God's wondering, does He have your heart? And that was what He was wondering with Cain and Abel. And he was actually insulted by Cain's offering. And Cain got his shorts in a big knot. And then God came to Cain, and you can find all this. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. But Cain, God's talking to Cain, and He says, Cain, if you do right, if you live life the way I've told you to live it, it'll go well with you. But if you don't, sin crouches at the door to devour you. See, Cain had the right to do it the right way. He had a good intention. He brought something to God. He brought his offering in due time. He came and he brought an offering to God, but he did his will, God's will, his own way. And that wasn't acceptable. It wasn't what God wanted. God wants us to do His will, His way. Abel, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abel, let me just read it so I get it right. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because it was an act of faith that what God said was true, and that if God asked you to do it, you should do it God's way. It goes on in Romans 10, verse 17, to say, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we really can't live in faith, we can't really present our lives to God, and we can't really do God's will God's way, unless we're hearing, and hearing his word. Because that's what produces faith in our life. The faith to live for God and to do life God's way comes from knowing his word. So if we don't have a love in our hearts for God's word, we're always going to just show up with good intentions. We're always just going to show up with something that is partly what God wants, but done our way. He wants us to do his will his way. It's our responsibility, again, to know and love God's word and to hide it in our hearts, that we could do the right things as an act of our faith and allow God to work on our behalf. God's word is what we need to know if we're going to live life out by the Spirit. Cain wanted to do it his way. He wanted to do God's will his way, but good intentions didn't matter. We look at the story of Jonah and the fish. And we think about the part where Jonah, God said, go to Nineveh, which was Iran, Iraq, and he said, I'm going to Greece, sit on the beach. And he, in the middle of that, storm came up, they threw him off the boat, he got swallowed by this giant fish and got spit out on shore. And you figure after all that, he'd sort of have it together, right? But he was still ticked off. He still had a bad attitude. He said, okay, God, I'm going to do your will, but I'm going to do it my way. So he went to Nineveh, he preached. They had a revival. People fell on their face, gave their hearts to God. Everybody that came into the town just gave their hearts to God and said, we're going to serve him and follow him. And Jonah sat under a tree, groaning and moaning because, well, why would God save these horrible people? He wanted to do his will, his way, and never really walked into joy of what God had called him to do. We think about Ananias and Sapphira, that couple that came to church and said, well, everybody in the church, it was kind of this trend at the time that people were selling everything they had, bringing it together to live in a communal lifestyle so that everybody would have the same amount and their goods would be distributed, you know, and they would all live that way. And they said, well, that's cool. We got to look good in this. We need to do our thing. So they went and they made this deal with each other, this pact with each other. We're going to sell, say we sell our house for 100,000 shekels, and we sort of would like to put 10,000 shekels and hide it in a bank account somewhere, and we'll bring the 90,000 and tell them that we're giving everything. We're just like everybody else. We're doing God's will. We're doing God's will. And it says that Ananias did it. He fell down dead in the church. They dragged his body out into the backyard and buried it. And when they came back in, she was coming in, and she did the same, and she fell down dead. I don't think the deal was that they were giving everything. I don't think that's what God's heart, because they didn't give everything. I think that when they gave, if they would have just given and said, we just want to give this gift to God, we want to bless his work, we want to be part of what God's doing, he would have been fine with that. But when they decided to lie and to make themselves look good, do God's will their way, then they were struck dead. How many times do we want God to reward us for our good intentions when God really just wants to work in us and do something? If we would just obey him, if we just do it the way he wants us to do it. So, in chapter 6, Paul is telling us, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that we have a choice who we can serve, either the flesh through our old sinful self, which leads to death, or the Spirit through bringing our minds into alignment with the Word of God, which is, produces the harvest of life and good. He goes on in chapter 6, he still says, whichever master you yield yourself to, that's the one you're going to obey. He goes on in chapter 7 and says, I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm trying to do it right, and whenever I try and do it right, I can't do it. I fall down. I want to do what's right, and even though I want to do what's right, I can't seem to do it, and the thing that I already said I don't want to do, I'm doing it. I'm doing it again and again and again. I just can't stop. And he goes on, and then again, it turns the corner. In verse 24 says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he goes on, "I thank Jesus that through him now I can serve the law of God with my mind, but the flesh, there's sin in my flesh." And there's so many of us that feel this sense of guilt, this sense of shame because the flesh is working. It goes on in chapter 8. Remember, the chapters and verses were put there to help us to find. They weren't actually there when Paul wrote the letter. He wasn't writing it in chapters and verses. So the thought that started in chapter 6 is going right on and through this whole thing. So when it ends in chapter 7, it's saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that wasn't the end of the thought. The continuation of that thought is found in chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So Paul's saying, I can't do it, I want to do it, I wish I could, I can't, I feel all this guilt, I feel all this shame, but I thank God now I can do it, I can serve God with my mind, even though in my body and my flesh there's this sin at work. So then he goes on to say, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So all this guilt and shame and stuff that we've all been feeling, all this kind of stuff that we say we can't, we wish we could, it's done. God gave us a clean slate through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. It says, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are living life according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. Their attention is always given to the flesh. It's always on desires, passions, lusts. But those who are living according to the Spirit, their minds are on the things of the Spirit. So we're reading God's Word. We're meditating on God's Word. We're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to our spirit and coming into agreement in our mind with that. Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, the left side, is always warring against what God wants. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. Again, just confirmation. That part of us, it's not under God, and it can't be under God. So then, they who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Many times our feelings want to get us going the way of the flesh, but we have to stay in the Spirit. We have to. Again, my problem behind the wheel. Driving to work on Monday morning, got my tire pumped up, pulling up to the light by the Home Hardware in Dunnville, going toward downtown, and the light turns yellow. It's pretty slippery out. You got a lot of slush the night before, and so I'm slowing down, and I'm easing up to the stoplight. Plenty of time to stop, but the guy behind me is apparently having a sleep, or I don't know what he was doing. But I see his car just going back and forth and sliding around, and I'm like, he's not going to stop, so I start edging up and edging up, and finally, he stops behind me, and I'm, you know, partway into the intersection, and I see him behind me, like, throwing the F-bomb and giving me the finger with both hands and screaming and yelling, and I was born in Dunnville. I like a good rumble. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, buddy, let's get it on, you know? But I'm like, I can't live this way anymore. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to live my life in that way anymore. So instead, I was going to pull in Tim Hortons, get my Tim Hortons coffee. Been away for 10 days without Tim Hortons. God loves Tim Hortons, and I just want to support them in every way I can. So I'm there, and I think, well, I'm going to pull in Tim Hortons. He's going to pull in right behind me, and I don't really want to get into this. So I'm going to just pray and ask God to help me. Turn down, went around the block anyway. Went to work in peace and didn't get myself all riled up because it wasn't because I didn't want to. I'll tell you, inside of me, there was this whole thing. Yeah, buddy, it was your fault. It wasn't my fault. You're driving like a stupid dummy. Open your eyes, you know. And I love to have a fight. I know you don't want to hear that from your pastor, but in my flesh. But I want to follow God with all my heart. And that's what, it's not that the flesh is dead. It's not that those desires are gone, but we have the power to choose. We have the power to live on the right side. So next week, we're going to take a look at how we're going to be able to do that. We've been talking a lot, but I want to actually, next week, we're going to break down exactly how to do that. I know this next week, I don't know about you, but sometimes this kind of stuff is hard because you start thinking about changes. You start thinking about what God's doing, what God wants to do in your life, how he's changing you. And sometimes it's really hard to deal with change. Sometimes it really hurts and you feel... So I just ask this week when you're praying, just ask God to help you to identify places where you've been living in the flesh and ask him to help you to really just take in what we learn next week and apply it to your life so we could all walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Good? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Spirit, number one. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to work in our lives and in our hearts. We also thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word, and your word is life to us, Lord, that your words are spirit and they are life, and they help us to live your way. So, Lord, I just pray today as we leave this place, God, that we'd all just dig into your word, that we'd all dig into spending time with you and connecting with your spirit, Lord, so that we can live life the way you've called us to live it. So, Lord, that your glory would be seen in this earth and that lives would be changed and touched. God, we love you. We want to be like you. So help us. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just, if you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute, I just want to just give you an opportunity. If this morning you would say, I've never taken the opportunity to give my heart to Jesus, never really thought I should, didn't know if I had to, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved, that we can be guaranteed a place in heaven with God. Jesus paid a great price so that he could say those words. He gave his life on a cross 2,000 years ago. Was whipped, was beaten for us, shed his blood, came to this earth and lived a perfectly obedient life and died the death of a sinner for you and for me so that we didn't have to do that. All he's asking for us to do today is to acknowledge that he's the Son of God and to say, I want you to be the master and the Lord of my life. If we do that and we decide that we'll live for him, he'll come into our heart and our life will never ever be the same. We're going to pray a prayer together. If you pray it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, God's going to change you from the inside out. You're going to come alive and the Spirit of God's going to be working inside of you and helping you to be the person that God's created you to be. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me, that you gave your life for me, that you lived a perfect life, and died a horrible death in my place. I ask you today, come into my heart. I repent from my sin. That means I'm going to turn and live a different life. I'm going to live life your way. Come into my heart. Empower me today, I pray, so that I can live for you. From today and on, I commit to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a worship song. as we do, whatever you've written on your pieces of paper, if you've done that, you can just come on up and just put it in there. You know what? No one's going to read it. Ushers, when you go to count the money, just you can throw those out. Those don't matter to us, but they matter to God. So this morning, if you do that as we're worshiping or as you're leaving this morning, let's just sing some time with God just for a few minutes as the worship team plays. And then when that time's over, we can go out to the cafe and just enjoy some time together, doing life together and ministering to each other. If you need